On today's episode of Insights, we'll teach you the keys to defining your target audience. We'll explain how to gather and respond to online reviews, and we'll discuss the importance of calls to action on your career site. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. Want to stand out, stay top of mind, and sell more? Haley Marketing's philosophy is simple: to make great marketing more affordable. Whether you're looking to drive sales leads or attract more qualified candidates, we make it easy for you to stand out in a saturated market. To learn more, visit HaleyMarketing.com. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights. Tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome to episode 3 of Insights. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's recruitment marketing strategist, Matt Lozar. Matt, how are we doing today?
We're doing well, Brad. We're back for our third episode. It's a day before Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. And I think we're ready to go.
I'm ready to get started here, Matt.
Content Blueprint.
Matt, when we think about content marketing, one of the critical steps in the planning and development phase is understanding your target audience. Tell us why this is so critical.
It's critical to know our audience because we need to know that audience to help us really plan any part of our marketing. You know, and it goes back really to business goals, I think, like we've talked about, in that if your goal is more candidate applications, we need to know which candidates are we going after. Is it, we can start just with industry. We can look at geography. We could look at active versus passive. Once you really refine and solidify that target audience, then we can go into those next steps of planning the content.
Yeah, and we talked last week about content. We've talked about setting goals as well. When we think about creating a content marketing strategy and really planning out a content blueprint, it starts with your goals. What are you trying to achieve as a business, and how can content fuel those goals? From there, we need to understand our target audience. Who are we trying to talk to, and who are we speaking to with every single post that we make?
And it's not just blog posts too. It's copy on your website. It's social media posts. It could be in job descriptions. It's really putting ourselves in the shoes of that light industrial worker, of that customer service rep, of that IT contractor for looking for an 18 month assignment, and really trying to figure out, you know, what's going to speak to them in your content to build that relationship that content marketing does so well.
Yeah. Think about the active job seeker, somebody that is currently unemployed who needs to find work so that they can pay their bills. The message that you send to them is much different than somebody that is happy in their current role, who you're trying to provide with an additional opportunity, the next step in their career.
Give us an example of each of those and how you would target an active job seeker versus the passive job seeker.
So for active job seekers, the content is all about getting started soon, getting started ASAP. Or if you're an active job seeker and you're frustrated with your current role, it's how to find work that excites you, how to find work that gives you a sense of fulfillment. You're actively looking for work, so the messaging should be built around how to find that next step in the process. If you're passively looking though, and let's say you're happily employed, but you're open to offers and open to opportunities, that passive job seeker is going to be looking more for work-life balance. Maybe it's how they can get away from answering emails on the weekend, or how they can spend more time with their family. Content that is going to fuel them and provide them with a way to come back to your website where then they could ultimately see that you have services and you have job opportunities that you can help take them to the next level.
And thinking about that target audience, one thing, you know, we really talk about here at Haley Marketing with our consulting classes that, you know, our CEO David Cerns runs, is we don't want to have that target audience be too big. We don't want to focus on an enormous, the whole pie. We want to focus on our slice of the pie. And I mean, the Haley Marketing Group is a pretty good example of that, I think, is we really just focus on the staffing industry and provide a lot of services, marketing services to one industry. We're not trying to go after, you know, every industry available out there. And for a staffing agency, we want to think about You know, are you, you don't want to be everything to everyone. You want to find that target audience and really refine it to meet your smart business goals.
Yeah. So let's give the listeners some homework here, for example, and something that you can actually use as a takeaway. After you listen to this podcast or while you're listening to this episode, think about your main goals for the first quarter of 2019. From there, think about your target audience. Who are you actively trying to recruit? Who are you actively sourcing? Define that target audience. Build that persona and build the ideal candidate on paper so that everything that you do from this point forward, from your messaging to the copy on social, the copy on your blog, any tweaks that you make to your website are in line with that target audience.
And let's take it a step further from what Brad just said is where is your target audience spending time? Because we could have the best content plan in the world, but if we're sharing that content in the wrong place where your job seekers' attention is not, you know, we want to go where their attention is. Is it Facebook? Is it LinkedIn? Is it, you know, an Instagram, Snapchat? Is it email? Is it a job posting? You know, where is your target audience spending time? And that's where you want to share the content.
Yeah. So again, breaking this down into one key takeaway as a homework assignment, as you think about your goals for 2019, build out your target audience, build out that persona. Who is the ideal candidate? Where are they spending their time? Where are they investing their time off hours? And how can you actively reach them through the messaging and social posts and copy that you put together?
Social reach.
Matt, I saw a recent stat that 88% of people trust online reviews as much as they trust their best friend's recommendations. How can we gather more positive online reviews on sites like Glassdoor, Google, or Facebook?
First of all, that's a wild stat.
It's a stat. I saw it. It's true.
It's on the internet, so it must be true. But if you think about the person, you know, your best friend could be your partner, could be somebody that's in your wedding party, your college roommate, but we're trusting, Matt's trusting Brad from Buffalo as much as my buddy Chris, who was the best man in my wedding. It makes sense. It happens though, because I'm doing the same thing. We're going to go to New York City in April. I'm looking at hotel reviews. I'm looking at restaurant reviews, and I trust them as much as anyone else. But to get back to Brad's question of how can we really get more positive online reviews? I mean, step one is asking people. It's most of the time we go to leave feedback when it's negative. We don't go to leave feedback when it's positive.
There's actually a report from Search Engine Land, and this is from 2016, that says 71% of consumers will leave a review for a business if prompted to do so.
So that gets back to asking them, and then how can we do that? I mean, the first way is when somebody is in your office, you know, they come into an assignment, maybe, you know, if in their paycheck envelope, through an email, whatever communication you have with them. Could also be a text message. You know, make it easy, remove friction to have them leave a review for your company, you know, on Google, on Facebook, on Glassdoor, wherever your audience would be finding reviews helpful, and ask them to leave that 4- and 5-star review.
Yeah, and I want to back up for a second here because those stats are a little wild. They're high numbers. I'm going to leave a link to a blog post that I created for Haley Marketing Group in the show notes here. And the blog post is, what are the critics saying about your staffing firm? There's a wide range of data in there if you want additional research and additional insight onto that topic. But to Matt's point, how do you gather more online reviews? You ask for them. If you know there's candidates who are enjoying your services, that are enjoying the assignment that they're placed on, ask them to leave you a review. If you have a client that you love working with, who enjoys the service and the level of candidate that you're providing to their open opportunities, ask them to leave a review.
And if we really want to focus on getting the most positive reviews, you know, focus on people that are happier. I mean, we're not going to be able to eliminate all negative reviews if you just ask people to, on their own time, to leave a review on Glassdoor, Google, or Facebook. So then it, you know, digs into the other point of what happens if somebody leaves a negative review. What's the process? What's the best method to handle that negative review of your company?
Yeah, if you receive a negative review, I would encourage you to follow a 2-step process taught by Jay Baer of Convince and Convert. He has a book called Hug Your Haters, and I definitely recommend that you check out that book. It's all about managing your online presence. But within this 2-step process, What happens is if somebody leaves a negative review, the first action is to respond and understand that they're upset. Hi, Brad. I understand you had a negative experience with us. We always strive to provide world-class service. We would love to chat. Give us a call or shoot me an email directly. Now, when you respond to somebody in an online review, you never want that response to come back in that public forum. You want their response privately, whether that's through a phone call or an email. Because otherwise, if they come back stronger and they come back more negatively, that's now public on any social platform. So let's say they do come back a second time and they say, I don't want to talk. I had a bad experience. What do we do in that situation? We respond a second time. Brad, I understand you had a negative experience. We strive to provide world-class service, and it seems like we fell short here. We would love to chat. Please give us a call or shoot me an email personally. If they respond a third time, at that point, we let it go. We've done everything that we can to address the situation. We've done everything to showcase and show not only that individual, but others, that we're actively listening and wanting to provide world-class service and improve. So we're going to stick to that rule of twos, and we're going to respond twice.
The last thing we want to do is to get into a back and forth online, as Brad laid out in his takeaway here for responding to the negative review, because you may have heard the term of internet trolls, people that just like to basically start online arguments, and they may never walk into your place of business again. They may never have a personal interaction with you again, and they're just trying to incite somebody at your company. Maybe it's your staffing agency, maybe it's another person you've given this responsibility to monitor online reviews. And if you get into a back and forth, more than a couple of responses, nothing positive is going to happen from that interaction. So we need to take it into the private setting and handle it, and not to open up a huge can of worms, but maybe there is a problem with your business that needs to be addressed, and their point could be very valid. Maybe your phone system doesn't work well, or there's just a bad part of your process. So their response could be valid. So if you can address it in a mature and responsible manner, that's really the best practice.
Warren Buffett has a quote that I love that says, it takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to ruin it. And if you think about that, you'll do things differently. You've worked countless hours, sleepless nights, weekends to build the reputation of your organization. The last thing you want to do is get into a shouting match on Facebook because of an online review. Think about your online reputation, respond twice, and then let it go.
Seen and heard.
At this time, we'd like to welcome on Aaron Eastlack, a dedicated social media marketing advisor at Haley Marketing Group. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Aaron, give us a quick background of your core role at Haley Marketing Group and how you assist our clients on a daily basis.
Thanks, Brad. One of the best ways that I think that I can assist my clients is helping them think about who their clients are, who their audience is, and I'm glad you guys are talking about this today, but how to actually get them through the funnel, deeper into the funnel until they actually convert.
Yeah, so I know that as a social media marketing advisor, you're working on content strategies, digital strategies, social media marketing strategies to really take those end viewers and help push them down the funnel into applicants or somebody that fills out a contact submission and gets a hold of a client.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because you guys are talking basically about the customer experience today. And that customer experience doesn't stop when somebody gets to your site. You've got all these different channels that you're sending out emails, you're sending out, you're on social media, you're really pushing to get all these people to your website. Why would you stop with that customer experience once you get them to your website?
That's a phenomenal segue for this segment of Seen and Heard. Let's talk career sites. Aaron, you've been passionate about this area for a few months now. When we look at career sites, why are calls to action so critical? And really to start, what is a call to action?
Yeah, Brad. So a call to action is any sort of messaging on your website that gives a clear indicator that you want them to take an action. So oftentimes it's going to include a link, should include a link to a place that you want them to take that action. So if you have a button, a lot of people call them buttons, or a banner or something in the sidebar of your blog that says something to the effect of apply here or click here. I mean, that's really basic, but click here gives them that indicator that you want them to take that next step.
Yeah, and when we think about that funnel, driving traffic to a career site is great. But Matt, ultimately, it's about that conversion. We want somebody to take that next step.
We do want them to take that next step. And a lot of the time with organic traffic, you know, we drive people to blogs, we might drive people to other parts of the website, and it's really important. You know, they may have come across your blog post or your web page on a Google search or, you know, an organic search, and then when they get to that page, we have to prompt them. It's similar to segment two where we talked about asking for a positive review. A job seeker, a client, a business owner may land on your website, but if we're not, we don't want to be in your face and over the top because that becomes annoying, but we need to have a well-designed, strong call to action that takes the website visitor to the conversion page, and that's where we can start to achieve our goal.
And think about your own user behavior on a platform like Facebook. You're scrolling mindlessly on Facebook. You click over to a link. Instinctively, you're going to go back to Facebook and continue that mindless scrolling. A call to action is a great way to prevent that user from going back to where they were, interrupt that process, and get them to a conversion page. Aaron, you've been working with one of our clients, HW Staffing, now for, I want to say, close to a year. And as of recently, you've been deploying more calls to action, more strategic calls to action to really get them more results. Why don't you talk a little bit about that process and maybe what we've seen in terms of success for that particular client?
So actually, Brad, we just finished our second year and they've had some really awesome success over the last 2 years. First of all, they deployed a really great website. It's very modern. It looks really good. It has great calls to action on pretty much every single page. And then along with that, they employed a good reputation management program, a great blogging program that had awesome SEO, and allowed it to mature over the last 2 years. One of the things that I observed is that because especially of that, the distribution of the blog and especially the SEO that we plugged into that, they were getting really great traffic, not only to their blog, but to other key pages on their website, including their homepage. And that homepage was essential. Now, when you're looking at the audience on a blog versus the audience on a homepage, probably the audience on the blog is going to be a little bit more it's probably going to be a little bit more targeted. The people that actually are looking for jobs are probably clicking on that content. Now, when you get somebody to your main or your home page, it's going to be a little bit more broad. So the question is, how do you take that fairly broad audience on your home page or on a kind of a top level page and really get those people to drill down to a place where they can take that action?
Yeah, and to think about how we're generating that traffic and how we're tracking that traffic, we use a platform called Google Analytics, and we install Google Analytics on every single website that we develop. And if you don't have analytics on your website, I would encourage you to activate that as soon as you're listening to this podcast, because without having that data, without knowing where people are exiting from, you'll never know how to ultimately get them to convert. So Aaron, I love that you're looking at the data between home pages, blog pages, and then funneling traffic to those key conversion pages.
Yeah, so especially on that home page, we were trying to figure out how do we differentiate between the folks that are just kind of there because they happened across hwstaffing.com, and then how do you differentiate the people who actually want to take an action. Now, that homepage already had several really great buttons and, you know, really good calls to action, search jobs, something like that. But we really wanted to up our game. So what we did is we installed a fly-in. And that fly-in, it didn't look bad or anything like that. It didn't cover the whole page. It was subtle enough, but it was obvious enough to the person that would visit that page that that was the quickest place to go to the job board to find a job.
Yeah, and a fly-in, if you're listening and you're not certain what a fly-in is, it's essentially exactly what we're saying. It's something that would fly out from either the side of the screen, the bottom of the screen, the top of the screen, captivate that user's attention, and get them to click and go over.
Back to the tracking that you were talking about, what we did is we installed a code on that button, on that fly-in, so that anytime somebody clicked or tapped that button, we were able to track that. And it always went to the job board. And over the course of about 5 months, we had over 600 clicks just on that button, not counting any other conversions or clicks from that page anywhere else. It was very direct, very tight funnel.
Yeah, I love the attention to detail. So with calls to action, we want to know what's working, what copy's working, how people are getting from one page to a key conversion page, because blog readers are great, But ultimately, blog readers need to become applicants, and applicants need to give you their application and their resume. So we need to drive people from point A to point B, which is that conversion page. So using Google Analytics, we see how people are getting from point A to point B, and then we also see how we can be most successful, how we can deploy different calls to action and different banners to ultimately get them to that conversion page.
And just kind of along those lines, when we would drive somebody to the blog, whether it was organic traffic or something like that, we spent the time to actually take that blog page and make it more a better customer experience for them. So if they were job seekers, that whole blog page had only content for them. If it was an HR focused blog, it was all the content on that page, including the sidebar, was only focused on them.
Aaron, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your insights on this episode. Let's get together and wrap up this episode with final insights. Matt, in segment one, we talked about the keys to defining a target audience. Give me your one takeaway.
I'm going to jump a little bit ahead from that question and just talk about once you've defined that target audience, go to where they're spending time. That's where you want to maximize your investment and where you're going to get the best return on your investment. And if you're creating a great content plan and sharing that content on locations, on social media platforms, wherever your audience is not spending time, you're going to get frustrated and we're not setting ourselves up for success. So focus on the places your target audience is spending time.
And my takeaway is going to be, before you create any content, define your key audience and define a persona of exactly who you want to read that article, because the messaging and the copy will flow from there. Matt, in segment two, we talked about managing online reviews. Give me your final insight there.
I'm going to go a little bit different from what we talked about, and I think kind of spin off the don't get into an online argument. One, because it doesn't look good, but it can be difficult because it's personal and it's your business. If someone says, your business stinks, I had a really negative experience at XYZ staffing firm, that's going to get taken to heart because it's your business. It's a company you've worked on for months, years, and spent a lot of time on, and it's going to feel personal. Do your best to take that emotion out of it. Follow the process that Brad laid out, and that's how you want to handle a negative review.
Yeah, and that's my final takeaway. To give Jay Bear one more shout out, you have to hug your haters. Don't just ignore the negative reviews and say, oh, that's only one instance. We don't need to worry about that. We don't have to respond. With 88% of people trusting online reviews as much as a friend or a family member, we need to take action and respond to every single review that comes through, good or bad. Aaron, in segment three, we talked about how to maximize a career site and why calls to action are so critical. Give me your final takeaway.
Yeah, so my final takeaway here is basically know your site. If you don't have analytics on your site, get analytics on your site so that you know which pages are getting the best traffic, and treat your site like the transmission in your car so that people can actually shift into that next gear, either to take the step to land a job or to request employees or to basically just do business with you.
Matt, your final takeaway?
I love the transition analogy, but my final takeaway is you have to tell people to convert a little bit. We get people to those pages that are going to drive the traffic, but on those best pages that are getting the most traffic, really optimize them with calls to actions. Put those CTAs on the page and drive them to those conversion pages we ultimately want to get our traffic to.
And my final takeaway is going to be that every post has to have a purpose. And with that, every post has to give somebody an end destination. Without that end destination, they're going to go back to where they were before. We want to interrupt that and get them to a key conversion page so a blog reader can become an applicant, or a blog reader can be a potential prospect that gets a hold of you. That's our time for today. We want to thank you for listening to episode 3 of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, please remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. That's iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher, or listen on HaleyMarketing.com. If you have a question for us, you can tweet us at HaleyMarketing and let us know what you're thinking. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. Check out HaleyMarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.